Right, Acts chapter 7, verse 6. I had preached through about verse 9 in Acts chapter 7. But I came across this verse and I wanted to touch on something here. And it says, "And God spake on this wise that his seed," speaking about Abraham, "should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years." And what we see here is a prophecy of persecution. You could call it a prophecy of persecution, a promise of persecution, but this is what happened. And it's not just for Abraham, it was for us. Now, Abraham had to believe God for things that he never fully saw realized in his lifetime. And we have to be willing to accept things the same, that there may be things that God is asking us to be faithful in that we never get to see the full realization of it. And we just, our job is to simply trust him and to do what he's asked us to do. But God had given Abraham here a promise of persecution. And we know it came true. We know it happened. And then we looked and we saw how Old Testament saints were promised that, and they went through it. And then we turned the corner and saw how New Testament saints are going to have to deal with that. So from there, let's go to John chapter 15. And we began recounting the martyrs of the New Testament. John chapter 15, verse 18. Again, this is Jesus speaking to his church. This is after the Lord's Supper has been instituted. It is after the kingdom has been appointed to the church. This is on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. They're walking past some vineyards, and this is when Jesus begins to teach him, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." But he says these branches are in him. Well, that speaks to his church, to us being in Christ. So this is who he's talking to right here. And as we move on down, we get to verse 18. He says, "If the world hates you," who's he talking to? His church. "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me," here it is, here's the promise, "they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Now this kind of does away with the whole heresy of your best life now. Okay? I mean, you try to tell that to someone who's going to get their head cut off. Okay? Who's going to be stoned to death. Oh, you're going to have your best life now if you follow Jesus. And yet, I'm afraid in America, we are so disillusioned with that, that we believe it without even maybe having been taught it, or we'd say, "I don't believe that," but yet we still do. It still affects us because we still think that, you know, well, I'm a Christian, you know, my family shouldn't have to, cancer shouldn't come into my family. You know, we have ideas like that, or heartache shouldn't come into my family. And I'd say we're probably all guilty of that to some degree, that we think because we're Christians, well, I serve God, I'm living for God, why are these bad things happening to me? And, you know, it's not wrong to ask why, okay? I just want to remind us that if you're going through some trial or something, it is not wrong to ask why. Now, I would also caution us that be very careful how you ask God why. But Jesus himself cried out. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So it is okay to ask God why. We need to have the right attitude in doing it and then be okay with the answer he gives us. All right, that's where we tend to go wrong. But we all tend to think this way, that, well, I'm serving God, I'm doing these things for God, so why me? Why my family? And this is one of those things that we get this idea that being a Christian is like pie in the sky and everything's going to be great. There's another verse in 1 Timothy. Can someone look that up for me? "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I want to say it's 1 Timothy 4:12. I don't know why, I could be completely wrong. But that just came to mind. That definitely isn't it. I want you to... 3:12. All right, I was close. I was only off by, you know, four chapters. That's only four chapters, though. When you say a book, it sounds like a lot. But when you say four chapters, hey. All right. 2 Timothy 3:12. And we may hit on this again, but I want all of you to see it here. I want you to see it. And again, when we understand terms properly, this begins to make more sense. All right. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That doesn't say everyone that is saved.
Amen.
Okay, it doesn't say that.
Amen.
All right, it says, yea, all that will live godly, where? In Christ Jesus. In Christ. Those are the ones that are going to suffer persecution. That is a promise of persecution. God has told us. He said, you can expect it. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you can expect persecution. And we get this idea that we're not supposed to face anything. You know what oftentimes happens when somebody gets saved? It's like, you better be ready now. You better be ready for what's coming.
Amen.
Because that's when the battle starts. You weren't on Satan's target before then. You know, you weren't on his hit list before you got saved. He didn't care. He said, you're mine already. I'm not going to worry about you. But when you get saved, he's, uh-oh. Watch out. Oh, this guy's following Christ now? This lady's following Christ. She's going to get baptized now. She's really taking sides with him. He's really going to be in that kingdom now? He's coming against me now? Now you're on his hit list. We just read about it in 1 Peter 5. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking us. He's seeking to devour you. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you, here's why, for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. But we're back in John, I'm sorry. All these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Because we say, I belong to Christ, I'm a part of Christ. I'm a partaker of Christ. That's what it is. It's, what does that mean? For my name's sake. Because you're in me. That's why you're going to suffer persecution. Every single person that lives godly in Christ Jesus is going to suffer persecution. That means, look, if we're here and you're baptized, then you are in Christ. The promise is that you will suffer persecution if you're living godly. If you're living godly. So expect it to happen. Expect to have to work Sundays at your job. And then what are you going to do when you told them you couldn't? I'm telling you, that stuff is, that's principalities and powers. That's what that is. Expect it. And then what are you going to do? You're going to take a stand, or are you going to back down? That is what it comes down to. Like, we read about the Baptists of old time just here in America. I'm not even talking about in other countries and the things they went through. We talk about it just here in America. And we look at what they went through and what they suffered for the faith, and we say, wow, we need Christianity like that again. But no one's willing to pay that price. Nobody is. No one wants to pay the price, what it's going to cost. And we're not even at the point yet where it's like you're being beaten for the faith. We're not even there yet. Like, what we are witnessing before our eyes here in America right now, where we're at, we're witnessing persecution. This is how it comes in and begins to take over. We are watching it happen right now. As worldviews are changing and it's being accepted that what we believe is hate speech, we are watching the mentality of persecution come back to America that we fought to leave. So we have to ask ourselves, are we really willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price for Christ? And it does start in simple things like in the workplace. Like, they tell you, you can't talk about Jesus here. Well, how come they can talk about all this filthy garbage all the time at work? bring up every ungodly thing, but I can't mention Jesus Christ.
Right.
How come they get to do that and I can't? How come they get to express their beliefs and I can't? And then, well, you need sensitivity training. I ain't going to no sensitivity training. Not going to happen. But it's going to take bold people to stand up and say, no. No, I'm not doing that. And possibly lose your job. We're all complaining about, well, they let the Muslims get away with all this stuff. The Muslims can do this because the Muslims stand up for what they believe. That's why. The Muslims stand up for what they believe. And we've got the truth and are afraid to. We'll justify why we back down. Why we give in, why we compromise what God's Word says. So we're not living godly in Christ Jesus if that's the case. If we're ashamed to look like a Christian. If we won't take that stand. I mean, where do we draw the line? Where do we say that's enough? No, you're not gonna. You're going beyond the bounds of what your authority is here. So we have to be willing to pay the price. It's a promise from God. It's going to happen. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And why are they going to do it? For my name's sake, Jesus said. And we carry his name with us. More so than most of Christendom thinks they do. And I'm not faulting them for it. I'm not mad at them for it. But they're misled. They're misled. But we know that we are standing on the solid rock. We know what it means to be in Christ. We know what it means to carry his name, to have his authority. And we are holding forth that banner, the banner of the name of Christ. And he says, that's why you're going to be persecuted. Because with that name comes his authority. And with his authority, it says that when they try and push, we say, no, you can't do that. You can't tell us what we do. The one area I'm telling you just right now, they don't get to tell us what to do with the Lord's money. It's his money.
Amen.
It is his money. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's his money. We're simply stewards of it. It belongs to him. And nobody outside of here gets to tell us what to do with it. I don't care if it's the United States government. They do not get to tell us what to do with God's money.
Amen.
That doesn't mean there won't be a price for it either. We have to be willing to pay the price to live godly in Christ Jesus. Say, you don't have the authority to come in here and tell us what to do. You don't get to do that. So we saw last week that the Lord himself was first crucified. Really before him was John the Baptist, but obviously the Lord is our rock and the foundation. So we saw, said the harbinger of the kingdom was beheaded. Matthew 11:12, we were given this. It says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That's what's going on. From the days of John the Baptist until now, he says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. They try and take the kingdom by force. Now, we know they can't, but they're coming after it, and they corrupt it and pervert it and do everything else they can with it until it is no longer the kingdom of heaven because it's been corrupt and polluted. But they're still coming after it. They're still attacking it. When did that start? It started with the days of John the Baptist. So we saw him. We also see that Stephen was stoned to death. That's who we're looking at here. He's giving this message. He's preaching this message in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 7, he's about to be stoned to death for the message that he preaches because he preaches Jesus Christ to them. And again, he's dealing with a bunch of Jews, so he begins to lay the foundation. Where did they start? He says, let's go right to Abraham, the father of our faith. And Abraham waited for this day. And he just starts preaching to them their history. And he takes it right to Jesus Christ. And they kill him for it. Why? Because All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Why are they doing it? For my name's sake. He talks about Jesus, and boom, they just get fighting mad. He says, you killed him, and now they start gnashing on him with their teeth, and then they stone him to death. Stephen was stoned to death. James, the son of Zebedee, he was put to death with the sword by Herod Agrippa in AD 45. Philip was bound with his head to a pillar and stoned in AD 54. James, the son of Alphaeus, was cast down from the temple, stoned and beaten to death with a club in AD 63. Now think about how brutal this is and these beatings are. This is as cold-blooded and ruthless as it gets. How many of you remember the pictures of our ambassador in Benghazi? Do you remember those pictures of his face all beaten, bloody, bruised? And the one that still breaks my heart to this day, the one you can see where they're just grabbing him. It's like someone, I think someone's holding his hair, and he's like half his clothes are ripped off, and you can see the tear running down his cheek. How many martyrs you think went through something like that? That's the type of beating that these men took. And that's what he went through. And just, and our government left him there to die. Hillary Clinton, by the way, left him there to die. Well, we could have done something. That's another story. But my point is, that type of beating that he took, as you see those pictures, them dragging him through the street, just a ruthless mob, just beating him, hitting him, kicking him as he goes by, that's what these men went through. That's the type of beatings they took. Something like that, just ruthless. It wasn't fast. It was horrific, the fear. Imagine the fear they were going through. You wouldn't fear if a mob's coming after you and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to die or not. I could die during this. I might get away. They might just beat me and leave me for dead. But you don't know. Could you imagine the fear that you would feel? I don't care who you are, how super Christian you are, you're going to be scared. Guaranteed you're going to be afraid. And that's the feeling that they're going through here. And that's what these men faced. So James, the son of Alphaeus, cast down from the temple, stoned, beaten to death with a club. Barnabas was dragged out of the city and burned at Salamina in Cyprus in AD 64. Mark was dragged to the stake in Alexandria and died on the way in AD 64. Simon Peter was crucified upside down by the emperor Nero, was a wicked, wicked man. In AD 69, I just want to touch on some of the cruelties of Emperor Nero, the Caesar of Rome. This is taken from Martyr's Mirror, and it says, touching the manner in which the Christians were tortured and killed at the time of Nero, A. Melanus gives the following account from Tacitus and other Roman writers, namely, that four extremely cruel and unnatural kinds of torture were employed against the Christians. Firstly, that they dressed them in the skins of tame and wild beasts that they might be torn to pieces by dogs or other wild animals. Secondly, can you imagine, and they're doing this stuff for sport, dressing them in the skins of tame and wild beasts, just torn up, the blood running and everything, and just let the dogs loose on them, just to watch them be mauled. Anybody ever been bit by a dog or seen a dog bite? I mean, even when the dog gets pulled off, it's nasty. They're vicious. I mean, it is. Now, they just let them loose on them, okay? Secondly, that they, according to the example of their Savior, were fastened alive on crosses and that in many different ways. They said, oh, you follow this Jesus, huh? He was crucified. Yeah, we'll let you die the same way. You can be just like him, since you guys are always talking about Christ. Oh, Christ this and Christ that. And you guys are just always about this Christ. So we're going to show you what it's like to be. You get to be like him. Do you see the hatred that is there? Thirdly, that the innocent Christians were burned and smoked by the Romans with torches and lamps under the shoulders and on other tender parts of their naked bodies after these had been cruelly lacerated with scourges or rods. Men being burned under here, you know, just burning the sensitive parts of your body. Anywhere hurts, but especially the sensitive parts. That's what they would do. They just burn them like that. But this is after they'd been cruelly lacerated with scourges and rods. Lacerated mean cut open. With scourges and rods. What's that mean? They're beating them. They're whipping them so it cuts their skin open. They're whipping them so bad it busts their skin open with whips or just a rod. Just busting someone so many times. I mean, to hit a body with a club or something or a rod, that you bust the skin open, you got to be like swinging for the fences. I mean, you got to be giving it all you want, sometimes more than once, to actually bust the skin open. But this is what would happen. This is how they would beat them. All for doing what we're doing right now, for believing in Christ, for saying, I'm not going to follow Caesar. I will submit to Caesar. I'll give him the due honor that he's due because of the position that God has given him, but I'm not going to honor him as God. I won't do that. They said, oh, yes, you will. And those that didn't face this. This burning was done also with shavings and faggots. They, the Christians, a faggot is just a bundle of sticks basically tied together, just so you know, okay? They, the Christians, being tied to stakes worth half a stiver. Okay, therefore they called the Christians, I can't say what this word is, that is, they called them faggot people, and then another word, Semisi or something, that is half stiver people, because they stood fastened to half stiver stakes and were thus burned with the slow fire of faggots. Now, when you get into the, this is under Nero, okay, but when you get into the persecutions under the Roman Catholic Church, if they were being especially merciful to those that they burned at the stake, and here's how the Catholic Church gets away with this. I don't know if you know this, but the Catholic Church, their stance still, they've never apologized for anybody they killed during the years of the Inquisition. They've never apologized for that, because here's how they get away with it. They say, well, it was never us that sentenced them to death, that executed them. It was the state. Well, if you have half a brain and if you're familiar at all with how the Catholic Church did everything, it was a church state. They ran the state. Amen. I mean, you got popes deposing kings and everything, setting up kings. Like, if you wanted to stay king when you're living there in Europe, you better get along with the pope. You better do what he says. If not, there was kings that stood against him and fought. Some of them would win. Some of them would lose. But you had to get permission from the pope. So it's just nonsense when they say that, oh, well, that was the state did it. Well, you told the state what to do, and they did whatever you told them to. They were under your thumb. Okay, I mean, that's exactly how it happens. It's like the mafia. The mob boss, well, he's not the actual one pulling the trigger, but he told them to pull the trigger, so they did it. So he's the one that's doing it. You understand what I'm saying? And that's exactly what the Catholic Church was then. And make no mistake about it, the Catholic Church would still be doing that today. If they could get away with it, they would still be doing it today. Let me take it a step farther. The Protestants would still be doing the same thing today too. Because that's what they did in this country until we fought for religious liberty because of the Baptists. That's what would be happening in this nation still today if it was allowed. I'm talking, what happened in America is truly a miracle. Amen. And it affected the whole world because they wanted our liberty. They saw what we had and they all wanted it and tried to adopt it. And that's why the liberty that is in the world today, it's because of America. Because it was non-existent before America. It did not exist like we know it until America. So, they called them the faggot people or half-stiver people because they burn them with the slow fire of faggots. Oh, that's where I was going with this. So if the Catholic Church was feeling especially merciful when they would burn someone at the stake, they would use dry faggots, dry wood. If they especially hated the person, say he was a really outspoken preacher or something like that, then they would use wet wood, green wood. And they'd have to keep lighting it because the fire would go out. Now imagine that. Now, most of the time when people were burned at the stake, ultimately what killed them was the smoke. Okay, they'd die from the smoke inhalation. But imagine a slow fire. Have anyone ever tried to light like wet wood, green wood? Even if it's dried out wood, but it rained the night before, you ever tried to light a fire like that? It's hard work, isn't it? That thing does not get going. I mean, it does not take. It won't light up. It takes a ton of work to get it going. And they just keep relighting it. And it would slowly start to burn their feet, burn their toes, burn their skin. It would just climb its way up until the fire really took. And they'd have to keep lighting it. The fire would go out. What they do with some of the people, this is the Catholic Church, they'd stick gunpowder in their mouth. That way when the fire got up there, just boom, blow their head up. Others of them, they'd cut their tongue out, or they'd nail their tongue to the roof of their mouth so they couldn't talk because the Christians would go out preaching the Word of God, be quoting the Bible. Some of them, their tongue's all cut up, stories of them and they're still quoting the Bible, blood running out of their mouth. See, when people really know the history of what the Catholic Church has done, this is, I'm no friend of the Catholic Church. I hate the Catholic Church. Absolutely, without apology, I say I hate the Catholic Church. I can't stand them. There's doctrines of devils, and they're sending people to hell. They're sending my family to hell.
Amen.
And everyone else that's following them. I have no sympathy for the Catholic Church. They're not our brothers in Christ. They're not my brothers in Christ.
Amen.
I have zero sympathy for the Catholic Church. Now, the Catholic people is another story.
Right.
I love them and want to reach them. And people have a hard time differentiating that and understanding that. But the system that's the Catholic Church, I can't stand it. I hate it. It's of the devil. We shouldn't be okay with it. We shouldn't like it. Remember Sunday I preached on? Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So do we hate every false way? The Catholic Church is a false way. Do we hate it or not? It's a rival kingdom to God, to God's kingdom. Do you understand that it's a rival kingdom to God's kingdom? That's why Satan was kicked out of heaven. We do understand that, right? Because he thumbed his nose at God and he said, I will be like the Most High. He rebelled against God's authority. That's exactly what all these false churches do. They're rebelling against God's authority. This is why it's so important that we take a stand on the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
Otherwise, it's rebellion to God.
Right.
And rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. If we're going to be rebellious, we may as well be friends with Satan and hanging out with him. All right, so therefore they called the Christians faggot people, half-stiver people, because they stood fastened to half-stiver stakes and were thus burned with the slow fire of faggots. Fourthly, that these miserable accused Christian martyrs were used as candles, torches, or lanterns to see by them at night. They'd use martyred Christians as a candle or a torch. Stick them on a stake high up. And light their bodies on fire to light the way. Of those who were burned, some were tied or nailed to stakes and held still by a hook driven through the throat so that they could not move the head when the pitch, wax, tallow, and other inflammable substances were poured boiling over their heads and set on fire so that all the unctuous matter of the human body flowing down made long, wide furrows in the sand of the theater. This is what Nero did to Christians. That could be you, me, that could be your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your child, your grandparents. This is what they did to Christians. And thus human beings were lighted as torches and burned as lights for the wicked Romans at night. Juvenal and Martial, both Roman poets, and Tertullian state this in a different manner, namely, that the Romans wrapped them in a painful or burning mantle, which they wound around their hands and feet in order to melt the very marrow in their bones. Furthermore, it is stated by A. Milanus from the aforementioned authors concerning those mantles that they were made of paper or linen, and having been thickly coated with oil, pitch, wax, rosin, tallow, and sulfur, were wrapped around their whole body and then set on fire. For this spectacle, Nero gave the use of his gardens and appeared himself among the people in the garb of a charioteer, taking an active part in the Circusian games, himself standing in the circus and as a charioteer guiding a chariot. These proceedings, according to the testimony of Tacitus, although it had the appearance that the Christians were punished as malefactors who had deserved the extremest penalty, nevertheless moved the people to compassion, for they understood well enough that the Christians were not exterminated for the good of the commonwealth, but simply to gratify the cruelty of one man, Nero. So he lighted his gardens with the bodies of our forefathers, with those that stood on the doctrines that we do, for standing on the doctrines that we do. And Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. That should tell us right there. Verse 19 says, if ye were of the world would love his own. but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That right there does away with all of modern Christianity. All of the CCM, all of these modern churches that are using pragmatic means to get the world in, to get the world to like them. If you were of the world would love his own. If the world loves what we're about, there's a problem. There's a problem. Now, I know that's contrary to most of what's said out there in Christendom. We want to get the world to like us. We want to win them to Jesus. You're not going to win them if you say those mean things and those hurtful, hateful things. You can't win them. Well, look, when Jesus preached, there was many times they tried to kill him. Many times they tried to kill him. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That does away with most of what's modern Christendom. Does away with it. That's not of God. They're of the world. The world doesn't hate them. Doesn't hate the message they preach. Not at all. We could pick on Joel Osteen, but I know Baptists are getting just as bad. Yep. Self-help messages that are designed not to hurt anybody's feelings, are designed not to offend somebody. You know, we need offending. Amen. I need offending.
Amen.
I need it. My flesh needs it because it's wicked. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I need to be offended.
Amen.
I need the Word of God to be preached straight, to help me be what I ought to be for Christ. That's what our flesh needs. If the world loves our church, there's a problem. You know, I'm not saying we ever want this. We don't aim for this. But look, when someone gets up during our service and leaves, when a visitor comes here and they get up partway through the service and leave, that tells us, man, they're all right. We're not trying to get people to run them out or nothing. That's not our purpose.
Amen.
But, hey, if you're of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world hates you. Well, amen. Then we're striving to be what we ought to be. We're just trying to live godly in Christ Jesus. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to please our Savior, to do what He said, to take His message of the gospel out there and yes, offend people. And that's what we're going out there to do. We're going out there to offend them, to get them mad. So what? Yes, we want to get them mad so they'll begin to think.
Amen.
We want to tell them what you believe is false. You're following a false God. You're in error. You need to repent. Not coddle them in their sin. Not tell them it's okay. You shouldn't do that. It's bad. But just ask Jesus to save you and he'll, you know, and you could deal with all that later. No, you need to repent right now or you can't be saved.
Amen.
You can't. But that hasn't been told for over 50 years now in America. And look at how good we're doing, man. We got transgender bathrooms, gay marriage. Abortion's getting bigger and bigger. Those that actually commit crimes, nothing happens to them. You know, as I was studying the Bible today, and I was looking at it, looking at the kingdom of God, and I'm like, man, you know what? God will not let any foreign citizens into his kingdom.
Amen.
You know what that tells me? Is God has a policy on illegal immigration. You got to come his way.
Amen.
He will let no, not one, illegal citizen come in. That's God's policy in his kingdom. Got to do it God's way, not our way. we encourage illegal activity instead of dissuade it in America today. Those people in Colorado, how many of you know about what happened in Colorado at the, I think it was a, I don't know if it was a federal courthouse, a state courthouse, but they took down the U.S. flag, they were trampling on it, and they raised up a Mexican flag. How many of you know about that? Four of us in here. Four of us know about that. That happened this last week. Look it up. You know what should have happened to those people? That's treason.
Amen.
That is treason.
Amen.
You know what they're doing when they're raising a flag? Do you realize when we went into Iraq, we raised a U.S. flag? How many of you know about that picture on the island of Iwo Jima? They snapped a picture at just the right time. You can watch the video of it if you look it up. But when they took the island, there's those Marines. There's like five or six Marines, and they're lifting the flagpole with the U.S. flag on it, and they're like lifting it up, and they made a bronze statue out of it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Why? Because we conquered them. We conquered that island. We took it from Japan. So we raised our flag. You know what they're saying? They're coming from another nation. And I'm not picking on the Mexican nation. Doesn't matter. I don't care what nation it is. But it happens to be the Mexican nation. And I'm against that. I'm telling you right now, I don't care what nation comes in and wants to take over our country. I'm against it.
Amen.
Don't care who it is.
Amen.
They're coming from another nation and they're saying, we're taking over. We conquered here. That's what they're saying by lifting that flag up. That is treason. You know what should have happened? There should have been somebody there that should have shot those people.
Amen.
Say, you want to storm our nation and try and take over? Uh-uh. You don't get to come in here and do that. That's what should have happened. I'm telling you right now. At the very least, they all should have been arrested and put on trial for treason, which is a hanging offense. You're a traitor to this country, it's a hanging offense.
Amen.
That's what should have happened right there. That's how serious that is. But we are encouraging illegal activity in our country and not punishing it.
Yep.
How many murders go on? I mean, we just hear about this man on I-25. He's driving by some drug addict fool, someone high out of their mind, shoots him because they're out of their mind and they think he's trying to kidnap their friend. He's just driving home or whatever, and he gets shot, shoots at him five times. How many of you heard of that? Right, on I-25, body found dead right there. The guy drives by, freaks out, shoots at him five times. Boom, 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 boom. Shoots in the car. The man's dead. And then he sobers up and he calls up, turns himself into the police, crying and then saying, you know, here's what happened. I was high and I just shot at him and realized it was wrong. I thought he was trying to kidnap my friend. You know, whether he was high on drugs or not, you know what should happen to him? Death penalty.
Amen.
Punished crime. You murdered somebody. You took somebody's life. I don't care if you were high. You shouldn't have been high then.
Yep.
Shouldn't have been high. But no, our society will make excuses. Well, he has a disease. He's addicted to these drugs. He can't help it. He couldn't help it. So you know what that tells everybody else? It's okay to get high.
Yep.
It's okay to do whatever drugs you want. And on top of that, you're not responsible for your actions if you are high. You murdered someone, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Their life's not important. Yours is more important. Well, you know, maybe 2 years in prison. Maybe. Poor guy, he couldn't help it. It's not his fault. See, we encourage illegal activity in this country. So I'm telling you, the gutting of the gospel, the corruption of the gospel, it's been preached for over 50 years in this country, and look where it's got us. Look at all the stand these churches take. You all wonder, maybe, I don't know, maybe you wonder, maybe you don't. But if you ever wonder why I preach so much against, you know, the doctrine that these churches, I'm talking about the Baptist churches, forget everything else. We already know those are just junk, okay? But the Baptist churches in this state that I know, and I know this may sound mean, but the gospel that they've been preaching has been for 50 plus years in this nation. And look at where we're at. The rejection of biblical doctrine, the rejection of the doctrine of Christ, and look at what it's gotten us. Now take that back to Judges and look at what happened to God's people when they rejected what he said and they started doing religion their way. Look what happened when they started doing religion their way. Yeah, God sent another nation in to take them over. Watch out, what's happening? We got Mexico coming up. It's that way. But look who else is coming in through Mexico.
Yep.
Oh, a bunch of Muslims coming in through Mexico. Let's go visit Dearborn, Michigan. They call it Dearbornistan now. being taken over by the Muslims. Look, any Muslim can come here. Do it legally.
Amen.
But you're going to abide by our Constitution.
Amen.
We just strike that junk down. They want to put forth Sharia law. That's against our Constitution. That's illegal. Send in the army then if you need to shut those citizens down. They're trying a takeover of our nation within, and we're allowing them under the guise of our liberties. No, they're perverting our liberties. They're abusing them. This is not allowed. You don't get to overthrow our nation with our liberties that you have. You believe whatever you want. Just don't pass this line. That's how that works. And you all know I'm no fan of President Trump. But finally, we got a president that'll stand there and say stuff that needs to be said, even if I don't agree with the way he says most things. I don't. I don't like the way he says most things. He is vile. I don't agree with that. I don't like it. But he sometimes says things that need to be said, and everyone gets offended by it because finally we have a man in office. Finally, I'm not saying he's like a godly man or anything like that. And when I say he's a man in office, I mean someone who will say what needs to be said. Finally, and this is why so many people liked him, because it's like, man, I don't even agree with half of what he says, but there's finally someone with some backbone.
Yep.
Instead of the bunch of sissies that we've had all the way through. And that's why he won. Without my vote, by the way.
Amen.
I didn't vote for him.
Amen.
But that is why he won. Churches need to actually believe what's in this book. And we need to get back to it. And it's because his word is not esteemed, that there's no suffering, persecution for his name's sake. They figure out every way you can to compromise it. When there might be some persecution, they're figuring out a way around it. Well, how can we give in here? And we'll give in here and give in here. And that's what's happening. So what we see here won't happen in America for the most part. If it does, it'll be a few here and there that nobody ever really hears about even. But we know. We'll know. If we're living godly in Christ Jesus, we have the promise we're going to suffer persecution. All right, I guess I'll stop right there and we'll pick up with this next week. Question before us is, are we going to live godly in Christ Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we